I'll invite you please to take God's word and turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and as you're turning there, I would like to say a word of thanks for your prayers through the exam time. And it is bittersweet that college is now finished. It's sweet, for I will have no more exams, well, in the will of the Lord anyway. But it is bitter because college days, I have to say, I really enjoyed. College days are a big part of your life for 4 years. And college is a real blessing, the fellowship and the teaching and the learning and all the rest. I have to say, I really, really did enjoy college. Every single class, there was always something to learn. So Mark's Gospel, please, chapter 1, and we will commence reading at the verse 32. We'll break into this chapter. Let's hear the word of God. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him, that's Jesus, all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because he knew them. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Amen. The Lord will bless the reading of his word. Let's unite our hearts in prayer, and ask God to give us help, both in the preaching and the hearing of his truth. Let's pray. Our God, our Father, we approach thy throne of grace. And we acknowledge, O Father, that we come, Lord, not upon any worth or merit of ourselves, for we have none. We come in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and by his precious blood. We thank thee, O Father, that we have an approach to thee. We thank thee that there is one at thy right hand, who took to himself our humanity. We thank thee for our head, who is in heaven. And I pray, O Father, that thou would give me help. I pray, O God, that thou would cleanse me in the blood of Jesus Christ, and fill me full of the Holy Ghost and with power. And I pray for all those that would hear, O God, that thou would give us that attentiveness that we need. And Father, Lord, as the flesh would seek to, as it were, hinder our hearing of the word of God, we pray, O Father, for tiredness to be lifted. We ask, O God, for the drawing near by the Spirit. We ask, Father, that thou would take the word and apply it to every heart. We pray especially for those that are not saved. O God, that thou would speak to them very particularly, very definitely tonight. That thou would draw them to Jesus Christ, that he himself would receive all the honor and all the glory that is due to his name. So, Father, we cast ourselves upon thee. O God, just as a little child would, as it were, throw themselves into the arms of their father, so, Lord, as thy children, we cast ourselves upon thee. We thank thee for thy omnipotent arms, which go round about and underneath us, is able to bear us up, we pray. We pray, O God, that thou would answer prayer for Jesus' sake. So, Father, hear prayer. An answer for thine and thy Son's everlasting glory. For it's in his precious and worthy name we ask and pray these things. Amen. Now in November 1989, Princess Diana, she reached forth her hand and touched a leper in a leprosy hospital in Indonesia. Now the world went mad. She made the headlines of the newspaper, and this is because she was one that was royalty. She was high nobility in England, and yet she engaged in physical contact with lepers. She was lauded and praised. She was one who was healed, that broke down barriers and sort of dismissed certain stigmas associated with lepers. The young girl that she touched that day is recorded as saying, "It was the most wonderful day of my life." And yet what we have read here in the end of Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, is of greater importance. It's of far more significance. For here there is the Son of God, the one who is the King of the kings of this earth. And he reaches out and he touches an individual. And not only does he touch them, but he cleanses them. He cleanses the leper. Now in each of Christ's miracles, there is a particular spiritual truth that is presented before us. We could think of when Christ healed those that were blind. And there we have the illustration of Christ giving spiritual sight to those who are in spiritual darkness. We can also think of those that he touched and healed that were lame. And there we have the truth presented to us that Christ gives to those who are without spiritual strength. He gives them a strength that enables them to come to himself. Well, here in this account of the leper and the cleansing of the leper, we have by illustration set before us certain things that the Lord Jesus Christ does for repentant sinners. Now, leprosy was a scourge of the ancient world. And there was nothing that caused more fear, more dread, more revulsion than the sight of one of these walking dead. The leprosy, it began in the hidden part. In a certain part of the body there was a pain. And then numbness followed. Soon that skin would become scaly and thick. It would lose its natural color. It would become infected with sores and ulcers. There would be a stench and a putridness that would rise up from that infection. Now I grew up on a farm. And I can tell you one of the most disgusting things that you will ever smell is the ulcer on the foot of a cow. And when it breaks and when that pus runs out, you have that stench. And here these walking dead would be, as it were, contaminated, infected, defiled with this leprosy. They would soon begin to lose fingers and toes or ears or noses or certain parts of their body. But not only accompanying this physical suffering, we're told in the Old Testament that the Lord required of these lepers to be carefully examined and quarantined. They were to be, as it were, put out of their homes, separated from their family and friends. They were to dress like those in mourning. And if they approached anyone, they were to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." And God used this physical suffering, this physical illness and disease, to present to you and me a striking illustration of the spiritual defilement of sin and its effects. Sin is ugly, it's loathsome, and it's humanly incurable. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 13, we have instructions that are given to the Levite priests concerning leprosy and how they were to deal with it. And in looking at those certain things, we have revealed to us some spiritual truths about the spiritual defilement of sin. See, leprosy starts in the unseen part. And so too, sin is in the heart. It's deeper than the skin. You see, sin is not merely deeds, but it is a disposition of the heart. And you might be in a meeting tonight and you might think to yourself, well, I have not done this deed or that deed. I have not said this thing or that thing. I have not went this place or that place. But sin essentially is a disposition of the heart. Each one of us are born as sinners. And so sin is in the hidden part. There's something else about leprosy. It was progressive. And so too is sin. There is not a man, there is not a woman, there is not a boy, there is not a girl that stands morally still. See, the first appearance of the spiritual leprosy of sin in childhood is but a small speck, an insignificant spot, a little childish outburst of passion, a little disobedience. Those of us that are parents, we see it, we know it, we understand it. What's in the hidden recesses of the heart starts coming out in little trifling acts of disobedience, rejection of authority, fits of passion and anger. William Wordsworth, the poet, he said that the shades of the prison house begin to close upon the growing boy. And there we look at them there as a little babe, and we think to ourselves that they're innocent, and yet they have a heart that is defiled, a heart that is unclean, and its sins begin to break forth. There's something else about leprosy. I've already alluded to it. It caused separation. It is the same with sin. Sin separates men and women from God. Heard this morning in your own service that nothing that defileth shall ever enter into heaven. No unclean thing will be there present in heaven. And sin, yes, your sin, the sin that you have committed, the sin that you are responsible for, bars you from heaven. Another thing we read in Leviticus about leprosy teaches us something about sin. We're told there that leprous garments were to be burned in the fire. And I tell you tonight with compassion, sinner, if you die with the leprous garments of sin still upon you, you will be cast into the lake of fire. Another thing about leprosy, the scripture teaches us as a punishment, leprosy was hereditary. Now we glean this from the account of Gehazi, Elisha's servant, because Elisha said this to Gehazi. He said, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. David, when he cursed Joab, he said this here, let there not fail of the house of Joab one that hath an issue or that is a leper. And I tell you, in like manner, the leprosy of sin and the curse of the fall has passed upon all men. And we have inherited a sinful nature from our first parents, just as leprosy as a punishment and as a curse was hereditary. So there we have, by spiritual application from the disease of leprosy, what sin is and its effect. Tonight I want to focus upon this portion that we have read. And particularly the last verses from verses 40 to 45. And I want to think tonight about the cleansing of the leper. The cleansing of the leper. It is interesting to note. And I read this in my studies that whenever leprosy is mentioned in Scripture, whenever there is a cure, leprosy is never mentioned to be healed. It's always mentioned to be cleansed. And it represents a spiritual defilement. Now the first thing I want us to notice from this portion is the leper's request. Let's read verse 40 together. And there came a leper to him, that's Jesus, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now the news of the miracle worker of Nazareth had reached the very outcast of Jewish society, the very dregs of humanity. And as this leper, as this man thought upon the mighty works of the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to one conclusion in his mind. There was only one question remained. Is Christ willing to heal me? You see, as to the Savior's ability, there was no doubt in this mind. We can glean this from the question. And so that man, as he heard about Jesus Christ, the man from Nazareth that went about doing good, he came to one final conclusion in his mind: is Jesus willing to cleanse me? See, one man has said that it is halfway to the remedy to know where it lies. And this leper, he knew that cleansing was to be found in Jesus Christ. And he was not ashamed to seek it. He got up from where he was and he came to Jesus Christ. And there's many in this gathering tonight, and you're unsaved and you know about Jesus Christ. You know he is the remedy for your sin. And you're halfway there because you have the knowledge, and yet you're still sitting in your sin. You have not personally come to Jesus Christ. Well, I love to say to the children that faith is an action word. Yes, there is theory and there is knowledge, but faith is an action word. And I wonder, have you exercised faith in Jesus Christ tonight? Have you personally come to Christ? You know all about his power to cleanse you from your sin. But have you exercised faith and come to Jesus Christ? Now Luke tells us in his account that this man was full of leprosy. He was full of it. But this did not stop him coming to Christ. There's many today and they think that they need to clean up their lives before they come to Jesus. But I'll tell you something, it's Christ that does the cleansing. We do the coming. It's Christ that does the cleansing. You see, you're not to think of any fitness. You are just to come as you are to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though this man, his body was riddled with this disease of leprosy, it did not hinder him coming to Jesus Christ. Was in the advanced stages. This man, his whole life, his whole body was rotting. He was full of it. And the sentence of death was upon him. He was literally the walking dead. That's like the sinner. Sin has infected and invaded every faculty of your being. It's reached every part of you. Your very body, your soul, your thoughts, your motives, your desires, your actions, your deeds. It's reached every part. And you are the walking dead. The sentence of eternal death is upon you. Yes, we all must physically die. Saint and sinner, we all die physically. But those that are spiritually dead and spiritually defiled, they have the sentence of eternal death hanging over their head. This man, he came and he made a request of Jesus Christ. He got up and he came. And in this request, we see that he knew that he needed something more than healing. He needed cleansing. You think of that man. You think of the stench every day that rose up into his nostrils as he walked about and his putrid sores were seeping pus. That man wanted cleansing. Cleansing from his defilement. Whatever sinners think they need from God, what they need the most is cleansing from sin. And I'll tell you tonight, you might feel you need help with this issue or that issue in your life. But you do not come to Jesus Christ because he is a social worker. You come to Jesus Christ because he is the Savior. And his blood can cleanse you from your sin. He came in reverence and humility, this man. And we see this when we gather together all the gospel narratives. In Matthew we read that he worshipped Christ. A word which means to kiss the hand, to pay homage to one that is greatly superior. Here in Mark's gospel we read that he knelt down and Luke's account, he fell on his face. And you put them all together. Here was a man that came and he had a sense of his own inferiority. But he also had a conviction about Christ's authority. He came in humility and reverence. But he also came in faith making this request. And his language implies this. You see, his faith was in accordance with what he had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this man had obviously heard about what Christ had been doing. And so he comes in faith. Now he didn't come and he didn't say, if thou canst, thou wilt. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst. He had no doubt of the Savior's ability. But you have heard about Jesus Christ. And his power to save and cleanse you from your sin. There is no doubt to the Savior's ability. To tell you something else, Christ is willing. He's willing to save. You are to come to Christ tonight, sinner, in humility and reverence. You're to come to him in faith, but you're also to come in earnestness. See, this man came beseeching the Lord. It was as if he came and stood before Jesus Christ and said, this is my last hope. It's here I live or here I die. And so he came beseeching Christ as death was closing into him. That's how you come to Christ tonight, sir. You understand that sentence lingers over your head. But you need to come earnestly to Jesus Christ. The leper's request, but secondly, I want us to think about the Savior's response. Look at verse 41 with me, please. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Christ was moved with compassion. And this little detail is added here in Mark's account. You see, the motivation for Christ's power is his own pity and compassion for lost sinners. See, the reason the Lord Jesus Christ cleansed this man was fetched from within himself. It was out of a heart of love that Jesus Christ cleansed him. You know, this leper, he realized this. He realized the grounds for his cleansing was not in himself, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Well, it comes across to us in this leper's request. See, he was submissive. He said, Lord, if thou wilt. He fell on the mercy of God. He didn't come bargaining with God, or reasoning with God, or presenting any self-merit or self-worth, telling the Lord, do you not remember the home I came from? I was upright, I was noble, I had this, I had that. I could do this, I could do that for you. No, he just said, if thou wilt. He just fell on the mercy of God. I tell you tonight, sinner, you have nothing to recommend yourself to God. There is nothing of merit that you and I can present to God that would ever give God merit or reason or grounds for saving us. And I wonder if you come to that understanding. Do you understand that there is no ground, no reason within you why God should save you? You have no merit. You have no worth to present before God. And if you were to get what you deserved, it would be justice. That is what we all deserve. Justice. Which is damnation, condemnation, separation from God and hell. We all deserve God's justice. This man came and threw himself on the mercy of God, and his misery made him a fit candidate for God's mercy. See, the scripture teaches us. It teaches us that it's only out of the free, sovereign love and grace of God that any of us are saved. It tells us in the scripture that the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because of A, B, C, or D. Because you were born in a Christian home. Because you read your Bible. Because you came to church with a friend. The scripture doesn't say that God sets his love upon men for that reason. Why? It says, but because the Lord has loved you. The grounds for saving anyone is found alone in God. And that is wonderful news. And that's why the gospel can be offered out to all men. You don't have to meet a certain requirement, do this, do that. But the grounds for salvation is found in the Lord himself. And Christ was moved with compassion. And this is his response as this leper comes to him and makes request. And tonight, sinner, if you come to Christ and you make request of him, the grounds for his saving of your soul is found alone in himself. Something else in the Savior's response. Not only did he remove with compassion, but look at verse 41 again. It says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Christ touched this man. Now why was the touch so important? Well, it was against Jewish ceremonial law for any person to touch a leper. For by touching that leper, that individual would become ceremoniously unclean. Yet Christ did not break the law when he touched that man. And I'll tell you why. Because as soon as Jesus Christ touched that man and spoke the words, that man was no longer a leper. He was no longer a leper. So why the touch? Well, the touch was symbolic. It was only symbolic of the transfer of the uncleanness from that leper to Christ. Symbolic. Christ could not be contaminated. Christ could not be defiled. For he is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. The uncleanness of that leper could not be communicated to Jesus Christ. When our sins were laid upon Christ, and when he bore them to the tree, and it tells us in Isaiah 53 that our iniquities were laid upon him, when our sin was laid upon Jesus Christ, he did not become morally defiled. He did not become a sinner. So what does it mean when our sins were laid upon Jesus Christ? It means the legal obligation of sin's punishment. The guilt of our sin was put upon Christ, but Christ never, never was defiled. For he is a sinless, spotless sacrifice. And yet he took the transfer of our guilt and our sin. The legal obligation for the penalty to be paid was transferred to Christ. And he paid that penalty at full at Calvary's tree. The Savior responded to this man with the touch, with compassion and with the words, to the request, if thou wilt, he responded with the words, I will. Sinner, tonight, Jesus Christ is willing to save you. You sit there and you think to yourself, you know, will Christ cleanse me? Well, I have been so hard against the gospel, and I have refused the gospel so many times. And you sit tonight and you think, well, if I went into the inquiry room, if I came to Christ, will Christ cleanse me? Listen to these words. I will. That's what he says, I will. Christ will cleanse you of every sin tonight. And he'll do it immediately, because that's what our verse says. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Instantaneous salvation. Complete, full salvation when the sinner comes to Jesus Christ. We've thought about the leper's request and the Savior's response. In the last place, I want to think about the wise requirements from this portion. Well, the Savior in verse 43 and 44, he placed upon this man some requirements. The Greek construction of verse 43 was that this was a strong command of Christ. This wasn't a suggestion. This wasn't something this man should take or leave. This was a command of Jesus Christ. And special experiences of divine grace does not free us as children of God from our lesser duties, but rather it increases their obligation. And what I mean by that, well, those that come and partake of saving faith in Jesus Christ and have experienced that special grace upon their lives, it does not mean as God's children we set aside the moral law. See, the law is a way of life to the believer. The law is our rule of faith. How we should live and conduct ourselves in this world. We're not antinomianists. We don't set the law aside. And people say, well, we're under grace. We're not under the law. But here we see that a special experience of divine grace does not exempt us from lesser duties. You see, God's children, Christians, keep God's commands because they love Jesus Christ. And here there was a requirement for this man who experienced God's grace in his life to walk in obedience to the things of God. Now, what were the requirements that the Lord laid upon this man? Verse 44. And saith unto him, see thou saith, say nothing to any man. But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Two things. This man was told to say nothing. And he was told to go to the temple and offer those things for a testimony. Now, why did the Savior lay these requirements upon this individual? Surely this is counterintuitive. Well, it was a test of his obedience in the first place. But why specifically did Christ tell this man to do these two things, say nothing and go to the temple? Well, why was he not to say anything? There's two aspects. He was not to say anything for Christ's benefit and then for his own benefit. See, the Lord Jesus Christ did not want a crowd of wonder seekers around him, just looking for the sign, looking for the miracle. He wanted penitents to come and to listen to his message of salvation. The people were too much addicted to miracles. They continually asked the Lord for a sign to prove his divinity. They were taken up with the wonder and not the word. The sign and not the Savior. And if the people would be stirred up with this man going out and speaking about what happened to him, this would arouse the suspicion of Jesus Christ's enemies. Maybe lead them to premature violence against him. But Christ's hour had not come. And so for Christ's own benefit, he tells this man, look, don't say nothing. And then also for the man's own benefit, don't you say anything. See, this man would have been better spiritually speaking if he had just sat quietly and calmly and contemplated the grace that he experienced and consider the significance of what would happen at the temple. You see, this man was caught up in the moment of what had happened to him physically. But he needed to understand the spiritual significance of what had happened to him. The Lord wanted him to grow. And so the Lord was telling him, look, just go steady. Just go easy. Don't be going out and promoting yourself and saying all this would happen or has happened to you. Someone gave advice for the new child of God, the new believer. Go slow. Don't blow. And stay low. And that's why in the scripture it talks about novices not being set up in a public place just in case they're brought into the snare of the devil. And here's this man. He had only met Christ. Didn't know too much about Jesus Christ. And if people started to come and question him, he could become easily discouraged. And Christ wanted him to just take a little moment and to grow in grace. What was the other requirement that Christ laid upon this man? He was to go and show himself to the priest and offer for his cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. See, the offering of this gift at the temple was an act of obedience to the ceremonial law. It was therefore the right thing for this man to do. And Jesus Christ came. He had come as far as immediate work was concerned. He came to fulfill the law. And so he did. And this man was to go and offer those things for his cleansing. And we read in Leviticus 14, those elements that he had to go and as it were, offer up in the temple. Things that were to be used in a Levitical ceremony when a leper was cleansed. Scarlet, cedar wood and hyssop. And this man was to go into the temple, a man known in the community, and he was to offer things there for a testimony of what had happened to him. Now, I said at the start that leprosy was humanly incurable. It was the sentence of death in biblical times. And so can you imagine that man if he had have went into the temple and there he went to the priests and he said, look, I've been cleansed. You can examine me. You can look at me. Every single spot, every ulcer, every sore has been taken away. And those Levites would have looked at each other. And they would have thought, well, this has never happened before. Do you know how to conduct this ceremony? Do you know what we need to gather together? Because this, as it were, offering was a testament to the completeness and the reality of the work that was done. And they would have stood there and they looked at each other and they would have come to the conclusion that God is amongst us. The Messiah has come. What a testimony to them. It would have been if this man had have went to the temple and Christ had come amongst them. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But he had come to do a work. And he did that work at Calvary's tree. Now I do not have time to go into those elements and how we see them there at Calvary's cross. But we do read in Leviticus 14 that atonement had to be made and offered for leprosy. A sacrifice by bloodshed. And so too, it is the same with sin. Atonement must be made. A blood sacrifice must be offered. And sinner, tonight, I tell you that there is a covering. There is an atonement that has been made. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Leviticus 17:11. It is the blood. Not the blood of bulls or goats or any animal, but it is the blood of Jesus Christ that makes atonement a covering for your soul. This man, he did not obey. You could say he stumbled, he fell. Even straight away, he didn't obey. He went out and he told all those around. It's often said that the best way to spread a thing is to tell someone not to tell it. Isn't that how it works? You hear some news, you go to a friend or a family member and you tell them, well, I've heard this, but you need to tell no one. Don't you tell anyone. And they go, that's okay, I'll tell no one. And you pour it all out to them, and they go down the road and they meet someone else, and they say to them, well, I've been told not to tell, but I'll tell you, promise you'll not tell anyone. And before you know it, it's spread around the country. Is that how it works? Well, that's how it worked here. This man went out and he began to spread it around. And before we knew it, everyone heard about it. And this disobedient man, no doubt, was moved with a proper motive, a heart of gratitude of what had happened to him. And yet his disobedience caused Christ serious inconvenience. Christ could no longer go into the city openly. He had to go into the city hidden. We read of that when he goes in to the festivals. He goes in a hidden manner. His disobedience caused Christ inconvenience and hindered his work. There are many things done today in the Church of Christ. Many people say, well, they're very proper and they're very nice. But the question is, are they biblical? Did God command them? If not, they will cause Christ and his kingdom harm. See, the end. For example, a full church, and we all want to see a full church. The end never justifies an unbiblical means. And there is places today and they use different means. Means that Christ did not command to fill their buildings. But the end never justifies an unbiblical means. But this man, no doubt, like that young girl in that hospital in Indonesia, was able to say it was the most wonderful day of my life. The day Christ touched me, the day Christ cleansed me and made me whole. I ask you tonight as I close, are you still in the spiritual defilement of your sin? Are the leprous rags of sin still clinging to you? You're cut off, you're isolated from God. The sentence of eternal death is upon you, and you're full of sin. Tonight I urge you to come to Christ. By faith, exercise that faith in what you have heard, and come and make request of Christ to make you clean, to cleanse you from your defilement, and you will find that he will. Cast yourself in his mercy, and you will find mercy. Come humbly and reverently to him. I finish with the words of a verse of a hymn written by Elisha Hoffman. And he penned these words, whoever receiveth the message of God and trusts in the power of the soul-cleansing blood, a full and eternal redemption shall have. For he, that is Christ, is both able and willing to save. Grasp that tonight. He is able to save you, and he is willing to save you. Come and wash in the fountain that is open for sin and uncleanness. For nothing that defileth shall enter in. You need your soul cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. Let's bow in prayer. May the Lord give you that faith tonight to make request of Christ, that you would ask him to make you clean. I do urge you that if you have been spoken, that you would linger, that you would exercise that faith, come to Christ, make your need even known unto us, and we will gladly point you fresh to Jesus Christ and his sin-cleansing blood. Do not delay, for the sentence of eternal death hangs over your head. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, We thank thee, O God, for the blood of the Lamb. O precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fight I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Pray for those in this meeting this evening that have that hereditary spiritual defilement of sin, that are clothed with their leprous garments of sin, that are fit fuel for the fires of hell. O God, have mercy. O God, let them not doubt thy willingness to save them, but draw them lovingly and tenderly to Jesus Christ. Lord, wash their souls in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, speak on, we pray. Save the lost and glorify Jesus Christ. Bless thy people as they gather around the table to remember the death of Christ and the atonement that he made there. We pray that in everything that our Savior will be honored and glorified. We pray this in his precious and lovely name.